Hang in there. It is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome to a major championship recap journal edition of The Smiley Show. And Smiley, look at us. We're here on the Pinehurst Resort pool deck.
Nice place.
I got to give a shout out, first of all, to Joey Geske at the USGA for fielding an increasingly absurd series of location requests that culminated with us sitting here on the pool deck. And I'm really hoping that by the end of this week, maybe Saturday night, we can take a dip in the pool to end the show.
Yeah, the request started at the 18th green. Then we went to the grandstands. Then we went for the parking lot. And then we settled for the Lazy River.
The Lazy River, I mean, there's like, it's not in the frame. There's like a slide back here.
Yeah,
so we get some pretty sick footage off of. So that's where we are. The course is right behind us that way. And it was a fun day out there. I mean, it was an interesting day out there. So let's just start with your just takeaways, your observations, first day at Pinehurst. I got some stats on the course. You want to start with course difficulty?
Start there.
Because it's interesting. So the first three, this is courtesy of our guy, Randy Robles, with Elias Sports, who hooked us up with some PGA Championship stats as well. But first three U.S. Opens at Pinehurst, 99, 05, and 14. There were 468 total entries, and only four players at the end of the week ended up under par. Payne Stewart, 1 under in 99. Martin Keimer, 9 under in 2014. Ricky Fowler, 1 under in 2014. And Eric Compton, 1 under in 2014. Michael Campbell, when he won in 05, famously finished at even par. So we have that piece, and then we're looking at the leaderboard today, and there are 15 players under par today. However, Justin Ray put out a tweet, as always. I don't have it in front of me, but just that if you look at the day one leader and where the scoring ends up, it never goes as deep as you think it is based on that first day. And we saw some water being put on these greens, you know, overnight this morning. A little bit of cloud cover today that maybe kept the course softer than maybe we thought we'd see it. I'm wondering, you know, do you think this kind of sets up for them to slowly ramp up the green speeds, make it difficult, wait till you cut down to 60 in ties, you know, so it's not a pace of play issue and toughen this thing up going into the weekend?
Yeah, to me, the green speeds and just those runoff areas, those are like really close to being very much in play to where golf balls aren't going to stay. But yeah, you kind of mentioned the cloud cover a little bit out there, kind of kept it softer. To where maybe the balls that would barely roll off were staying today. But to me, the thing that's like so different from 14 to this year, it's how green the fairways are. I mean, I don't think the fairways to me are that difficult to hit this year. It's kind of how Donald Ross designs golf courses. He gives you room off the tee, but he's going to challenge you on the second shots. And yes, I mean, the native wired grass area is very challenging to play out of, but it's kind of, you know, from the lies I saw today, only a couple were non-advanceable. Everything, every other time, guys got it on the green. So
also good shots out of that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So I wouldn't call it just this absurd challenge quite yet. Hmm. It's not quite there. I was a little surprised to not see a little bit more guys under par, but it's a very difficult golf course that stretch. On 4, 6, and you can make bogey on every hole. But, I was with Bryson today, and from where he was playing from, I saw a 6 or 7 under out of him today, and he ended up shooting 3. But still, I mean, what he's doing off the tee right now is it's crazy, man. Through the first, like, 14 or 15 holes, he had just hit 9 iron or less into every single hole, and that's including the par threes. It just was absurd. The guy's unbelievable.
If you're hitting it that high, it should be easier to hold firm with fast greens. And kind of touching on that a little bit, looking at some of the stats of that group of five leaders and what they each did well to get where they were. You know, starting with Bryson, his strokes gained off the tee, he gained 2.86 strokes off the tee, which I think led the entire field. And second in that category, Ludwig Aubert gained 2.22 strokes off the tee. Matthew Pavon, how he ended up at T4 and 3 under, had an incredible day putting. Gained 4.41 strokes putting. Now, if you look at our two leaders, Rory and Patrick Cantlay, and you're talking about those sort of approaches around the green, that was the stat where they performed the best. Patrick Cantlay gained 3.81 strokes around the green. Rory gained 2.48 strokes around the green. I thought that was telling, where we spent a lot of the time in the lead up and the preview talking about what types of shots are guys going to hit around the green. That's where you could throw guys for a loop. Ludwig had a couple of shaky moments there around the green, and you know, obviously still put up a good score. He's in third at 4 under, but that was where Rory and Cantlay kind of made their money today. And it's interesting to see both of them tied atop the leaderboard at 5 under.
And you're going to need days like that to where your short game, you know, carries you out here. And all these players at some point during this tournament are going to need their short games to show up, or you ain't winning. And to see Rory, who, by the way, is a very underrated pitcher of the golf ball and has been a very good putter this year, and it's kind of stalled a little bit with the putter, like one round each tournament since the Wells Fargo. But other than that, the putting's looked great this year, not as big of a concern like it was last year. But I still feel like you're going to have to iron it out here. Hmm. You're going to have to be able to, I mean, when they put these hole locations on the corners of the green and you know you can't miss on the short side and you have to aim 3 or 4 steps to the left and you know you can't pull it either, you can't push it depending on which side of the green it's on, it takes total commitment. And then when you get in those positions where you have to get up and down, you can't waver at all on the decision that you make. You have to be fully committed to what you're doing. If you think about outcome at all, about, you know, oh, I can't, you know, I don't want to end up chipping it over the green, or I don't want to chip it short, or I'm worried about contact in this grain. You got no chance. And you could see it in the scoring today. It was 501 guy, or I think it was plus 501 over par today. We were just doing the finishing the coverage up. So there's obviously, you know, plenty of players today had that going through their mind a lot. And the guys who managed it the best, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, buttload of other guys, Ludwig striped it. They were able to, you know, get up there and hit committed targets or pick a committed spot and get up there and execute. And that's why I feel like this golf course is, you know, you're going to have the best players rise to the top, because you can't be weak in any areas of your game, and especially the mental game. You can't be weak there either.
Ludwig gained 2.91 strokes approach.
Yeah, striped it.
I mean, just, you know, that was Patrick Cantlay gained 2.53 strokes in that category. How about our little one and done picks? It was looking like your guy Brooks Koepka was going to run away with it early. Love where Bryson's at. He actually lost strokes to the field putting, so maybe if that's something that he works on. I enjoyed the tidbit from the coverage where they were talking about his using the foresight of the quad on the putt speeds, and you were like, he needs to hit this one 0.01 miles per hour. But Brooks today had a little bit shaky coming down the stretch after getting to 3 under, and this,
yeah, I heard he bogeyed 13.
This tickled me so much. So he skipped the interview process, right? Eamon Lynch texts him, says, hey, can we do an interview over text? And they did a whole interview over text of him explaining, hey, the reason I didn't do media, it's not because I'm mad at anybody or mad at myself. Like, I just think people ask boring questions. And this, I want more of this. Here's what I want. Let's just skip the interview process entirely, because you know what? I tend to agree with Brooks on this a little bit. We've gotten a little stale with the question. Let's just throw all the players in a group chat. Just fire questions off. And then, you know, guys are sending gifts to encapsulate their performance on the day. I want more of this. Well done, Eamon Lynch, and well done, Brooks Koepka, for being a good sport and doing this.
That's a heck of a scoop. I didn't know about that yet. I want to see the screenshots of all that.
It's great. He's got a full write-up.
Does he?
I think Eamon writes for Golf Week. I could have that wrong, but Golf Week. It's like a Q&A style thing. They just did over text while he was at home hanging out with his son. And by the way, that was Claire Rogers posted a great pic of him leaving with his son, like carrying him over his shoulder. Great Father's Day vibes. You ready for another scoop?
Yep. Give it to me.
Walked with the Bombers only group today. Jake Knapp, Gordon Sargent, Cam Young. Shout out to my guy, Thomas Sargent, Gordon's younger brother, who hit me with this scoop. Cam Young arrived on property for the first time, 6:45 a.m. this morning, just had his third child. Happy Father's Day to you, Cam Young. How about that?
What?
And I think he was at 2 or 3 over last night, checking his in the round. That's a pretty dang good round for not having played a practice round out here.
He was on my flight to Charlotte from the Memorial.
Maybe he had to do a U-turn and go back home.
Well, I mean, obviously something happened.
Something happened in there along the way.
That's wild. He didn't mention that.
Also got to hang out with Jackson Van Paris and Scott Limbaugh.
He's already his third child
at age 27.
Cam Young's like, in my brain, I'm not computing that Cam Young should have his third child by now. That's insane.
I'll tell you what, I watched all three of those guys tee off on 14, and it was like, it felt like it was close to a combined 600 miles per hour of ball speed. I mean, just crushing the golf ball. It was a fun watch and fun hanging with some of the Vandy guys. Jackson Van Paris, Scott Limbaugh. It was a good hang out there today at Pinehurst.
Heck yeah. That's a good group to go follow. I'm just sitting here trying to catch up here, looking at data golf and some ranks, kind of what you are, all the stuff that you already have. But when you're just with one group all day, I'm playing catch up, trying to figure out. Because I had heard on the coverage that Xander Schauffele was like not hitting it well. And I wanted to go and see exactly how poorly. Oh, yeah. He was 142nd today off of the tee.
Mm.
And just to give you a reference, there's 156 players, and he still managed to shoot. He still shot even par. That's so good.
And I felt like every time I looked up, he was making, you know, like an 8-footer for par. And it felt like that to me was the story of the day out here. It was just guys that, and it was towards the end of your coverage window where Denny McCarthy made that nervy par putt where you're talking about Bryce had the same one. And then sticks his tongue out just like, I am exhausted. And it felt like that was really it, is that it's hard to hold these greens. They have these little nervy pitch shots, you know, or whatever they're going to do. They're going to bump and run it. They're going to putt it. And then you're left with this tester for par. And it's like, how many times can you do that before you're just completely drained, stressing out over putts like that?
Totally. And for him to shoot even par, to be that poor off of the tee, that's where you kind of look at the setup and say that luck component, right? Like if there was strokes gained lucky today, Xander Schauffele, I for somebody who didn't get to watch one shot, just listening into my ear, sounds like he got lucky a lot today, because to shoot it, you can't shoot even par out there if you're missing fairways every hole. So if you would have thrown heavy, heavy rough out here today, if you were hitting it bad off the tee, probably don't have a chance to get it on the green. So I don't know where I stand as far as this like native grass stuff, because I think from what I've seen this week, there's a lot of advancement. It's a lot of fun, but there's so much luck involved.
There is. And I think, I mean, for me, from a fan perspective, this is different from a player perspective where you want some sort of consistency. I like the variability there, and you never know what lie you're going to get, and
I do too.
Some fun into it. But it's strange. It's like you see a guy hit it where you think he's dead, and then all of a sudden he has a shot. I mean, like Bryson, and this was a story for a couple guys, Bryson, Xander, and Scotty all got very timely TIO relief in places where I thought they were going to drop some shots.
Bryson did,
and
it was close too. I was like,
those shot link towers, they're becoming more and more in play. Air quotes there.
Scotty didn't hit a good. Wow.
So by the way,
he hit his irons good. Did not drive it good.
We're fading Scotty this week, and I'm not like, we're literally fading Scotty. You see his haircut.
Yeah, it's
the
dope.
Man got
it's
a, like, the man got a fade and a half.
It's the Open Championship Jordan Spieth haircut.
it's the one I got a couple times over summer in college where I let my hair grow out too long and waited to cut it, and then I cut it and then I got mocked for like a week for my tan lines. I've been there.
I was watching the early coverage when he's hitting balls warming up, and I was like, caught the corner of my eye. I was like, whoa.
What happened there? Yeah.
Going full dad mode. I'm here for that.
Right. Like, exactly. You're mired in it. You have no time to get a haircut, and you finally decide to get one. You're like, just cut it short, because I'm not going to have time to do this anytime soon again.
I mean, Scotty, look at that, though. Just pretty incredible that him and Xander both did not have good days off the tee.
Especially playing in a group with Rory where you think you draft off him a little bit.
Yeah. What was your takeaway just from the vibes from that group, from watching?
It looked like, to me, it looked like it was a grind for Xander for sure, and Scotty to a certain extent of just not having his A game where, you know, the putting, I feel like, he almost made like a 40-footer to close the day that would have got him to even par. So, but it just felt like it was a grind for them. And for Rory, it just felt like, and it was similar for Bryson's round, just felt like they weren't really stressing out at all. You see Rory walk that putt in on 18 with like
a
foot left to go.
I love it.
I mean,
he's stepping it.
It's so funny with Rory where it's like the majors where we think, you know, he's got all the pressure on him, all the expectation, doesn't play well. And then he kind of flies under the radar here, and here he is at the top of the leaderboard after round one.
Well, that was one thing that they asked me on the desk at Live From. And the question that was asked to me was, what's the most important metric you think this week? And I thought about it, and this is after I'd seen the golf course, and maybe you and I have talked about this as well on the preview pod, that I settled in on driving distance. And and then I put scrambling next, and then iron and scrambling were probably actually more tied. But I think driving distance is so important because you can get lucky. And from what I saw with Bryson today, I just don't see where he has like a bad day out there because of the advantage that he had over the rest of the field. Victor and Max were 40 yards behind him all day. 40 yards.
What happened to Victor, by the way?
Bro, it was bad today. he got some bad breaks. So if we're talking about guys who didn't get lucky, he was not one of them. Man. He got some pretty crummy breaks most of the day. But he, a two-way miss, man. He with his iron game, he was pulling shots to right pins and then the opposite way to left. So just didn't have any confidence up there. And it just, you could tell it was weighing on him too. He was playing quick. Like he was just mentally, you could tell he was the motor was really running in the brain, trying to figure out, you know, how it went so wrong so quickly to start the day.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like we were talking about this in our picks where it feels like he's close and then he's far away. Maybe it's just going to take more time with Joe Mayo, you know, to kind of get back to where they were. I mean, we've seen the flashes where it's like he's all the way back. But then you see days like today and you wonder maybe there's more work there to be done. And maybe he peaks at the end of the year like he did last year.
Well, definitely so. And I think that's maybe a testament to like, man, Valhalla. That was
a lot easier than we thought it was.
That was really pretty easy, wasn't it? Like, I think it was just a point and shooter. Where this week is, it's a point and shoot, but if you don't shoot well, it's not great.
It's interesting. It's like, I think we have a feel for what it could be like the rest of the week, you know, given today's conditions, but I just think the conditions are going to keep changing over the next 3 days and that, you know, maybe tomorrow it won't get crazy, you know, fast, firm. But I think in the weekend, like once they make the cut, because there is a pace of play consideration today.
Yeah,
where, like,
totally.
It could have gotten long and bad with the full field. But like once you cut it down to 16 ties and you can let those things bake. And I even looking at the forecast, like it looked like it was going to be cloudy today and tomorrow, but that it's fully sunny Saturday, Sunday. And that's where it could get really crispy.
It definitely can. And just driving over here from the 10th hole, I saw every green was getting watered. Maybe, I don't know, just hand water. I wouldn't say sprinklers. So just probably just putting a nice little dousing on it. Just like a couple cocktails. Now we're not going to have five. We're just going to have like one or two. That's all they're putting on top of the greens tonight.
Well, I'll finish with this. I mean, you've done a lot of talking about golf today and a lot of talking to people about talking about golf tomorrow. We've got happy hour. We got Fridays with Smiley tomorrow. Very much excited for that. You're going to be at the 15th hole, is that correct?
Yeah, 15th hole. 15th hole. We're work to be done on getting players lined up. It's really difficult, to be honest. This being a major championship, trying to get players to swing by. So we'll see what we get. I'm really excited to do it. We got some really good things cooking in the microwave for it. So
the biggest thing we've got is big Father's Day moment for us. We might have the first official Anna Carter Walker meeting in person.
They may meet.
Fridays with Smiley.
Yeah, they should meet. So.
Big time Father's Day moment for both of us. So, well, I'll let you go get ready for tomorrow.
Eat some dinner, man. It's 9 p.m.
Eat dinner.
Eat lunch.
Had some nice pizza in that media dining area. Really good. A lot of local. They had some nice pulled pork. I'll tell you what, they're doing it right here this week.
Heck yeah.
I got to give a big shout out to Pinehurst and the USGA on that front. So we appreciate you watching and listening, as always, to this journal. We're going to be back here recapping play tomorrow night and Saturday night as well. And maybe as the conditions change and the players at the top of the leaderboard change as well. So stick with us, and we'll be back with another recap tomorrow night. See you then.